it was funny.
Okay.
I don't know why I like to tell people this, but when I used to record on Zoom does this thing where it says recording in progress, and it would freak my guests out every time. And I thought it was the funniest thing. It wasn't, but at the same time, it was just like, it's that Siri like voice. It's like recording in progress. And you're just like, oh no.
Yeah. It started. It's like, it's setting in the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely freaks me out too, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. How was your yesterday?
How was what?
How was your yesterday?
Oh, it was actually really nice. I had a good day yesterday. It was nothing eventful, but it was nice. How was yours?
It was good. It was good. Nothing too eventful. School and kind of the usual.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah. How is school for you?
Definitely don't like school, but I'm surviving.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm curious why you like Anchor so much.
I don't know. I mean, it was my first platform for podcasting, so I guess I feel like the connection to it, you know, like, oh, but I don't know. I think it's easier to edit on Anchor because I've tried other platforms too, and it's like complicated. I don't know. But yeah, it's personally for me.
Yeah. Other platforms can definitely get really complicated, especially when you're using them for the first time. I was lucky enough to have a friend who was able to teach me how to use Audacity, because walking into Audacity without knowing anything is terrifying. Mm-hmm. There's too many buttons.
Yes, I was so confused when I first like opened the app. I didn't understand anything.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. I mean, if I ever have any questions about Anchor, I'll definitely reach out to you. And if you ever want to learn anything about Audacity, let me know, and I'd be down to help you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Well, I am ready to jump into the episode. How are you feeling?
I'm ready. Let's get started.
Let's do this. Let's do this. Kind of a first really, really basic question. How has your day been, Shan?
It's been like uneventful. I mean, it's like morning for me, but you know, I'm optimistic today. I have some great things planned, so I'm feeling hopeful. I guess I'm okay, you know. I'm feeling great today.
But yeah. Optimism is always a good way to start off the day.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying to do that more often lately.
Yeah. That's really wonderful. And, you know, I really just want to jump right in with you. And so you've been struggling with mental health since you were about 12, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And where did that struggle begin?
So the thing is, I feel like I've always had mental health issues ever since I was really young. Like, I was a very sensitive kid, and I think I've always had anxiety. It's just I never recognized it. But I started to really struggle the most during sixth grade, I think. I was 12. And at the time, I had no friends. I was really struggling with friendships, you know, like as one does, but I was like having a lot of fights with my friends and I felt very lonely. So I think because I was very sensitive, like I started to feel a lot of sadness because of it. And I think that manifested into my depression a lot because, yeah, I would like remember like sitting in school and I would just like look out the window and wait, can I talk about everything here, right? Like, do we put a trigger on it?
Yeah, go for it. No, you're good. Okay. Go for it.
Like, I remember looking out the window sometimes and I would just think about jumping. And that was like the first time I realized that like it wasn't normal, you know, because like this whole time I just thought like, okay, it's like sadness, you know, but now I realize that is not something normal to think about, especially like at the age that I was. So yeah, that was like really the first time that I realized there was something wrong with me. I just never put the finger on it, you know, I couldn't understand why. But yeah, that's where it started.
Yeah, it's hard to know too, especially if you've always lived that way and those are thoughts that you just, you know, have when you're younger. You know, it's hard to know that there's any other way because it's just like, that's just the way it is for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely very hard for me to like validate myself because I've just always been told that like I was too sensitive. Like I would cry all the time. So whenever I was like, you know, like, this is not normal. Like, the kind of sadness that I'm having isn't normal. People would just be like, well, you know, you're just sensitive. You know, like, that's just how it is. And so I never felt validated or like heard by anybody. But yeah, it was really confusing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you were told that you were too sensitive, did you ever try to suppress it?
All the time. It's almost like weird because when I first like started realizing and I was like looking at videos on YouTube all the time, I was like, you know, like, what is this feeling? Because I was so confused. But I remember like, there was this somehow this like feeling that I had in me that I couldn't tell anybody, that like maybe it was because I was scared that they would reject me or, you know, invalidate me. So I kept it to myself for so, so long. And even like till now, like I still struggle with telling people how I feel, because I've just always been like, you know, I've always had that fear that I'm too sensitive. And sometimes I literally like gaslight myself into thinking that I'm like fine. I don't know what it is. It's kind of weird, but you know, it's something I struggle with all the time because yeah, it's like, it's not just like one person telling me that I was too sensitive. It was like everybody, like all my teachers, even my counselor, even my parents, like everybody would just tell me I was too sensitive. So I suppressed so much for so long that when it came out, it was like a lot, you know, it was a lot to process for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Suppression is definitely leads to a lot of big explosions.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's mm-hmm. intense, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And it kind of started when you were 12. How did it evolve?
I think it definitely evolved as I grew older because things started to get harder for me. Like I started to really struggle the most mentally because by this point, right, in sixth grade, I was just kind of like, I knew that I was struggling with something, but it was really confusing. And I was also just entering puberty. So it was like never really something I focused on. But when I went to middle school, it was when I really started to realize things that I never did before. Like I would start having panic attacks in the school bathroom. And it was scary because I felt alone. I remember crying a lot in school, but it was like secretive. Like I would like, it was like my little secret for some reason. So when I got older, I think I started to rebel against it more. Like I started to recognize my feelings more. And that was when I first told somebody. I told my mom that like I didn't feel happy with school and in school. So I told her that I wanted to see a doctor because by this point I already knew that I had depression because Google searches, you know. And I told my mom I wanted to see a doctor. I didn't even understand what psychiatrists were because here I live in Indonesia and here, mental health stigma is so real. It's so big that even at the time nobody like would ever expect a 13-year-old child to have depression, you know? So it was like a challenge for me to even like get it out, to even get help in the first place. So when I told my mom, I skipped school for like a week. I didn't go to school and I was just crying the whole time. I was like begging her to take me to a doctor. And so finally I went to a doctor and that was when I got diagnosed for the first time with depression and anxiety. And that was really where my journey began with mental health, because up to that point, I never realized that it was mental health, but now I did. And yeah, it's been a learning process ever since for me, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what pushed you to tell your mom?
I think I couldn't stand it anymore. Like it got really bad for me. Like my suicidal thoughts got worse and worse. I never tried anything, but I understood that like this wasn't normal. And at the same time, I was also dealing with a lot of stress because, you know, moving to middle school, there's a lot of coping that needs to like happen. It's a big change. So I was like stressed out about it. And, you know, at the time I was also dealing with a lot of self stuff. I didn't feel confident in myself. I felt very insecure all the time. So I didn't like the feeling and I felt like I couldn't stand it anymore. I think that's what really like pushed me to finally tell my mom, because I've always wanted to tell somebody, but like I said, I was too scared. So yeah, like at first I was going to write her like a letter because I was that scared to tell her, but eventually I just kind of went into my mom's room and I just broke down. I just spilled everything out. So yeah, like I think that was what really pushed me.
Yeah. And why was it your mother that you felt the most comfortable with?
because I guess like my mom's always been very comforting in a way. Like she's always wanted to understand me emotionally, even though she knew like I was very sensitive and stuff. Like she was always the one who would try to validate me in a way, even if she like felt she couldn't. So I felt like I could trust her more than my dad. Not that like my dad isn't like a great person, because he is. It's just like I felt like she would be able to connect with me in a sense of like a motherly thing, you know? So yeah, I felt scared of my mom at the time, because I was scared that she was gonna invalidate me and it was gonna hurt me. But when she finally like understood what it was, I think like that really actually strengthened our relationship a lot, because we bonded a lot over the years because of my mental health and stuff. So yeah, she's always been there for me. I really love her, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, I think the relationship, especially between a mother and daughter, can be very powerful.
Yeah, it was very like, I think one of the reasons why I'm even here is because of her. Like she never gave up on me, and I'm so thankful to like have a supportive parent, well, parents, because you know, so many people don't, especially like in teenagehood. Like it's very hard to feel like there's any support, even amongst like friends and peers. Like there's a lot of issues, there's a lot of problems, everybody's dealing with their own stuff. So yeah, I'm thankful to like have that stability in a sense that people don't always have, you know?
Yeah, stability is incredibly important, especially in a family.
Yeah, it's really helped me.
Yeah, and that was when you were 13, and you're 17 now. So what's kind of what's been the rest of that journey like?
Very up and down. It's like the best way I could describe it is like it's like a bunch of turns. So sometimes you take the wrong turn, sometimes you take the right one, other times you just take a turn that leads to nowhere and you have to go back, you know. It's mental health, I feel like, is something that is like it's stigmatized, but at the same time we've definitely like progressed over the years, especially amongst like our generation. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of like misinterpretations about it. Like sometimes we think that like, oh, like, you know, get help, you know, like talk about it, get help. Like it doesn't always mean that you are going to get better. Mental health is a lot about finding yourself, and it's a long journey of a lot of mistakes. And I think for me, like I've learned a lot to like acknowledge myself more, like to get to know myself a little bit more, because I've always like relied on people throughout my journey, like, you know, therapists or parents or support systems, but I never understood that I need to fix myself, you know, because I always thought that like someone was going to fix me. And so like I only started to do that like literally last year and this year. Like this year has been a big journey in terms of my mental health. I've been learning a lot about it more. But yeah, like it's been a lot. But at the same time, it's been a journey that I will always remember, and it's been very valuable to me.
Yeah. I mean, no journey is ever a clear-cut path. There's always lots and lots of ups and downs. What would you say you struggled with the most in terms of the depression and the anxiety?
I struggled with accepting it. I think like when you are experiencing something traumatic, because it was traumatic, like I never acknowledged that I had like trauma until now, because it seemed normal. Like you said before, like when that's all you've ever known, it seems normal as if. So I struggled with accepting it when I started to understand that it wasn't normal, that it wasn't right, and that someone had wronged me, or that other people have failed me in the past. And for forgiveness, I really like couldn't do it, because I felt like the biggest thing I couldn't do was forgive myself. I felt very betrayed by myself. Like I was like the worst person in the world. Like I felt that way at the time, but I struggled a lot with like accepting things for how they are, and that, you know, like that happened, but I needed to like move on. So I was living in the past for a long, long time, and nobody could pull me out of it, not even my therapists. Like I tried every therapy in the book. I tried, you know, like every single therapy, and none of it ever worked for me because I couldn't move on. But it was only when I started to like have the power and the hope to move on, like that therapy started working for me and stuff. So I think that was like really powerful to me to learn acceptance. It's been very, it's a big challenge, but it's been one of the most powerful things in, that's ever happened to me in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Therapy can be very, very impactful if we let it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how did your environment and your friends impact you along the way?
I mean, like I was isolated. I think that was the biggest factor because when I first like went into depression and stuff and I got diagnosed, I actually dropped out of school. So I went into like homeschooling and online schooling for the rest of my like high school years. But I was isolated because of that. Like I also cut people off. Like I was the type of person that would isolate myself whenever I was dealing with something. So I left a lot of my friends, and that caused me to not have like that experience of having someone to relate to. So I was very lonely for like a few years and I didn't have any friends. But I think in terms of like support, I've always lacked it because I didn't want to accept it. It wasn't because people weren't giving me it. It was because I didn't want to like let people in. Like I said, I was always too scared to say how I felt. So there was a lot of fear in me. And I think for a long time, I struggled a lot with my mental health because I never felt like anybody could support me through it. And that's what I've learned a lot, like especially like this year, is that I needed support and I need support all the time. And I think sometimes it's hard to like understand that because you're just like, oh, I can do this on my own, you know, but support when it comes to mental health is such a big thing and it plays a huge part in shaping how you are as a person too. So it's been like, it's been really hard for me to let people in, but yeah, like especially I think my isolation played a huge part in my mental health because it got worse and worse progressively, but now I'm a little bit better because I have, you know, a support system and I'm doing better just in general.
How did you start learning to let people back in?
When I think the thing is like sometimes you have to learn when you've reached a very low point, and that was what I did. What happened to me was I reached a very low point. I had met very bad people, and I was at the time in a very toxic relationship with somebody, and that was like the lowest I'd ever gone. And I think when I realized how badly I was treated by someone and that this wasn't right, I realized that I need to find better. And I did find better. Like I met so many cool people last year. Like I met all of my friends and they've been such supportive people in my life. But when I met them, I realized that like this whole time I've been dealing with very terrible relationships. Like these relationships, I always felt like I was walking on eggshells with people. So I never had stable relationships ever. So like when I met people who genuinely cared for me and wanted to like help me, even like in the lowest moments of my life, like they were still there for me. Like that was when I realized that like I could let people in and not have to expect the worst out of them all the time. But that again, just I think a lot of it has to do with me finally finding the right people and cutting out the bad people in my life. So I think it's a lot about understanding your worth in friendships, like in relationships. It's like, you know, you deserve more than just the bare minimum, you know, like that was what I learned a lot from people. And that was how I started to let people back into my life and really let them help me when I need them.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you find the right people? I know that's kind of a strange question.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's actually a good question because I think for so many people, like it's not easy to find like a good kind of support system because there's always going to be bad people in your life. Like that's just how life is. But I've learned a lot about distancing myself from people that I don't want to surround myself with. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to like cut people off or block them all the time, you know, like it just means understanding who you are trying to bond with and establish long-lasting relationships with. Like you need to understand that first of all, I think falling in love or bonding with somebody doesn't have to mean you have to do it in like a matter of months. It's not always an instant thing. Sometimes it takes months and a long time to really get to know somebody for who they really are. And I've been taking my time getting to know people now. Like every time I meet someone new, I want to know them first before I establish any kind of label. Like, oh, like they're my best friend. You know, like I don't want to just say that because of what we like, what we can bond over, what we like. I want to say that because they're the type of person that would stick up for me whenever I need them, or that they would stick by me whenever I'm like going through something. Like, I think it's a lot about getting to know a person before you do anything, you know, before you establish anything. So finding the right person is hard, actually. It's not easy, you know, like finding the right friends is not easy. And you're always going to like deal with toxic people and just overall negative people. But yeah, it takes time. And also, like, I don't think you should rely on people all the time either. Yeah, it's like establishing boundaries, you know, and understanding those boundaries.
100%. Finding the right friends is incredibly key. What mm-hmm. would you say makes a good friendship?
Respect. I think, like, for me and my friends, I've definitely never had a friendship like the ones that I have now, because I've always given so much to my friends back in the past, but they never really gave me anything back. But now I'm learning to respect each other's, like, everyone's boundaries, because everybody has their own. Like sometimes me and my friends wouldn't talk for days, but we would like be there for each other whenever we need each other, because I think it's like in teenagehood, like we all deal with so much on our own. You know, sometimes we do want to isolate ourselves, and I think that's okay. But at the same time, reaching out to them and being like, hey, I'm here for you if you ever need anything, like, is so important, because even just like small reminders, they can change so much of how a person perceive like their life and their friendships and stuff. So I think for me, I'm finding the balance of like giving people like love and attention while also giving me attention, because I have always like struggled with finding the difference between the two and balancing them. So I think it's like respecting each other's boundaries is very important in friendships. And just like, even if someone, like, if, you know, your best friend doesn't want to talk to you for like 2 days because they're dealing with something, that's okay. You know, like, respect their boundaries, give them the space that they need. And then if they need anything, they'll reach out to you and you can help them, kind of thing. But yeah, that's what I've learned a lot from my friendship now.
Yeah, it's all a balance. It's 100% mm-hmm. all a balance. And you were diagnosed with BPD. That's the other kind of big piece of the story that we're missing right now. When was mm-hmm. that?
I got diagnosed last year in December, if I'm correct. But yeah, the thing is, I've always had BPD. I think I've always showed symptoms of it ever since I was very young. So like, let's say, even when I had depression, I think I was already like heading towards BPD. So it wasn't really unexpected, but it was unexpected to me at the time, because I thought I had bipolar, because I was really like going through a lot at the time. So yeah, it was kind of weird almost to be diagnosed with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is BPD? Just like, what's like the basic definition of it?
So it's kind of complicated to explain, but basically borderline personality disorder is a disorder that causes unstable moods and relationships and a sense of self image. So for a lot of people who have BPD, they don't have stable relationships. And like I said before, I've always struggled with my relationships and friendships. So that was like, that made a lot of sense to me when I got diagnosed. Like everything kind of clicked, you know, because this whole time I always felt like I was crazy, because like nobody understood me. Nobody understood why I was so sensitive all the time. But you know, when I got diagnosed with BPD, it was like, oh, wow, like it made sense, because when you have BPD, like everything can trigger your emotions, even the smallest things, like, you know, things that people wouldn't even notice could really trigger something in me. Like even my thoughts can make me sad to the point where I want to like self-harm, you know, like it's like that bad. But the intensity of your emotions is so hard to manage. And that's why for a lot of people that have BPD, like, they have suicidal thoughts, or they've attempted before, because it's that intense. for us, like sometimes when you're in that mindset of negativity, like you can't pull yourself out of it. So others have to do it for you because you really cannot handle yourself. And on top of that, BPD deals with a lot of abandonment issues. Like they're really scared of getting abandoned by someone. And I deal with that a lot. So it made sense to me. And at the same time, it's just kind of like you struggle a lot with your identity. So you sometimes lose a sense of self and you just feel like you're just like some body floating in the universe. You know, you don't really have any soul in you. Like it's really hard to feel stable. I think that's the best way I can describe it because it goes on and on. Like the symptoms are a lot. There's a lot of other factors to it, but the best way I can explain it is like it deals a lot and it connects a lot to your past and how you were made to feel in the past. So I think a lot of it has to do with childhood trauma. So if you were kind of abandoned in your childhood by a parent or whatever it is, like you feel in distress for a long time, you might have a higher chance of having BPD because the way that we react to those feelings of fear and hurt of being in distress and abandoned during childhood is suppressed a lot. So when you're older, you deal with that in a terrible way by lashing out at people. So like, let's say someone tries to leave me, I lash out at them or I destruct myself because that's how I deal with it, you know? So it's really complicated. It's a really big disorder, but it's like intense. That's the best way I can describe it.
It sounds very intense.
It is.
Yeah. And how did that affect your life?
I think in many ways it's just allowed me to like right now specifically, like it's been allowing me to like open my eyes a lot and put things into perspective. Like things that I never realized from the past has surfaced and I have to deal with it now. Like I have to kind of come to terms with a lot of things that I didn't want to come to terms with. So like my trauma and the feelings that I had suppressed in the past is coming back up. But it's like good because I'm dealing with it. But at the same time, my BPD has always played a huge part in my life, especially over the years. Like I've always just felt crazy. Like I said before, like it makes you feel like you're crazy because you are obsessive about a person or you are so unstably like just like all over the place. You're a mess all the time. And when you're having episodes, it's like the worst feeling in the world because you feel like you're so hopeless and you don't even like yourself anymore. So it's been like really hard for me to even like wrap my head around it. And I'm like in no way like in control of it because I'm still all over the place. I have to be on medication because of how bad it is. And I can't, you know, like it's just like a learning process to even like, you know, get a full understanding of your own BPD because it's different for everybody. But yeah, like it's impacted me in a lot of different ways, but mostly like very negative ways. If I'm honest, it's a lot.
Yeah, it really sounds like it's helped open your eyes to kind of see what was going on behind the surface, below the surface.
Yeah, it has.
Would you say that it's been more helpful than hurtful, the diagnosis?
Yes, because I'm like, I feel like because I got diagnosed, I can finally say like, look, I'm not crazy, you know, like, hey, like this is because I have BPD. Like I don't have to constantly, feel like I am hurting myself or blaming myself. Like, you know, it's helped me to feel like I can disconnect myself from my disorder because now I realize that like some things aren't really me. It's just my disorder. And I've taken the steps to heal because of it, and I'm getting better at understanding myself and really connecting with myself. So it's helped me in that way, and I'm really thankful to be diagnosed because, like, a lot of people say this, but when you get diagnosed with something, it's like a weight lifted off your shoulders because suddenly you feel like you don't have to go through this alone anymore.
Mm-hmm. And has the medication helped?
Yes, but at the same time, I don't really like medication. In my personal opinion, like psych medications, it's really hard to be on medication because you kind of feel like you have to take it to even feel okay. And sometimes I don't want to take it because I just feel like I don't know, like it's really weird, but I just want to be able to handle myself because I can, not because I need something to help me, you know? I don't know, but it's been helpful, but also not that much.
I understand that. Yeah, it's definitely, I think that plays into the independence aspect of it, is not wanting to have to rely on someone and or something else.
Because it makes you feel like you are incapable of handling yourself.
Yeah. And how has therapy changed now that you've been diagnosed?
I've definitely found the right kind of therapy because I've just always been mingling around like any form of therapy that I could. Like I was just trying to cling on to something, but now I've definitely there's like specific types for my disorder, so I'm definitely going to the right ones that I can actually help me. And on top of that, I found my therapist now, and she's amazing. Like I always struggled with bonding with my therapist because I couldn't, but now like now that I'm able to understand myself more, I get to bond with my therapist better. So yeah, I'm like actually enjoying therapy for the first time in my life. So that's been very helpful to me.
What has your therapy journey been like before you were diagnosed?
It's always been on and off. Like it was never really helpful. It was just kind of like a thing that I needed to do, or I felt like I needed to do to help myself. But I, every time I went out of therapy, like I never really got anything out of it because I didn't allow myself to. Like that's the thing about therapy. Like you gotta wanna do it. If you don't, then like it's not gonna work. So it doesn't matter how good of a therapist you have, like it's not gonna help you if you won't allow it to help you. So I think that was the biggest problem for me, was that I never understood what therapy was and how it was supposed to help me. But now I do. So it's like a big difference to me. So it was like a big change.
What have you learned in therapy?
Right now I'm in DBT, like it's called dialectical behavior therapy, where I learn how to control my emotions and put things into perspective. Because like I said before, in BPD, you feel really intense. So when you are feeling intense negative emotions, that's all you can focus on. It's almost like you don't remember that happiness exists or that you've ever felt it before. So for me, I think that's my biggest struggle. So in therapy, I've been learning to put things into perspective and like try to look at a situation from other point of views and not just my own eyes. And that's been really helpful because I've learned a lot to understand my emotions and acknowledge them more. But yeah, I've learned a lot about myself in therapy. And I really like therapy because it's like I can be open about myself. Actually, this interview feels a little bit like therapy because I can just talk about what I want to. So,
I'm
yeah.
glad. I'm glad. Where would you say you are on your journey to self-discovery and kind of understanding who you are as a person?
I think the journey starts is it doesn't just start from not knowing yourself to knowing yourself. I feel like it starts from trying to even understand that you don't know yourself. Like it goes way beyond before that. So I've definitely went past that part of my life, but I'm in this part where I'm like I'm confused, I'm lost, and like let's be honest, like so many of us are just lost, but I'm also taking the steps to want to get to know myself more, to want to deal with the things that I never dealt with in the past. And I think that's one step closer to reaching my goal. And, you know, the smaller things, they matter the most because, you know, you have the effort. And I think that's enough. So I would say I'm definitely in the place where I am lost, but I want to start, you know? It's like a little d redemption for me.
It's like an uncovering.
Yeah, it's like you want to start, but you're still confused, but you want to start, you know? And I think that's a good thing for anybody who feels lost. Like finding the effort to want it and the hope is enough. You don't have to like know everything all the time.
And it's impossible to know everything, so.
Yeah, and it's a long journey. Like don't expect it to be easy, 'cause it's you won't know yourself even when you're like 60. There are still going to be things that you wouldn't know about yourself, you know? So.
100%. It's an everlasting journey. It's a journey that grows with you. So you never really, You know, not that you would want to reach the end, but there never is an end to reach because you're always growing.
Yes, that's a really good point.
And do you kind of have any other kind of final thoughts on that topic before we switch topics?
Well, I mean, I just think like with my journey, like I think I just want people like to know that like it's not easy. Like I think right now I can sit here and say like, oh, like I found out what's really wrong with me, but at the same time, it took me like so many years. I mean, I was 12 when I started, and I'm 17, and I'm still in the middle of my journey. So it's like, I guess mental health is just understanding that, like, you won't understand it. You won't always understand it, no matter if you're diagnosed or not, if you're in therapy or not. Like, there's so much that you won't understand. And I think, like you said, it's a lifelong journey with yourself, with your mental health, with your past, your present, and your future. So just be patient and have that patience and love for yourself. So, yeah, that's really all I want to say. But we can move on to the next one.
Yeah, we are definitely illogical human beings. And then on the topic of switching topics, so you got rejected from your dream school. What was, well, kind of first off, what was your dream school?
It was a school, it was like a boarding school. And basically, like everything about that school aligned with what I wanted because, like I said before, I've been homeschooled my whole life. So I never felt the high school experience. And I wanted to get in so bad because, like, it was my one chance to like experience it, in my opinion. Well, at the time, that's what I thought. But basically, like, yeah, it's a boarding school and it's full of like change makers. I don't know if you know, but it's called UWC. And I'd really worked hard for it. So when I got rejected, it was really hard. But yeah, that's the school.
What were you planning on pursuing there?
Because it's high school, I really wanted to join like opportunities because I don't have opportunities like, you know, like student councils here because I'm homeschooled. So I wanted to pursue stuff like that because I thought that that was the only way I could like, you know, pursue cool things and like, you know, join clubs and make opportunities for myself. But yeah, that was like really the biggest school that I wanted to, why I wanted to get into there. But yeah, because it's like high school.
So it's like a high school, so it's a boarding high school is what it is, and it just is, it's selective in terms of who it lets in because it's, they have specific goals and focuses kind of thing.
That's exactly what it is.
Nice. Nice. What was the emotional roller coaster for that?
I mean, it was hard. I was like, when I first found out that I got rejected, I was like on a lunch date with my dad. So I was like in a public setting. So that made it worse because I was scrolling through my email and I was trying to refresh over and over again to see like, where's my, you know, acceptance letter? It's not there because they had announced it that they had sent it out. So basically, if you didn't get in, you wouldn't get a letter. So I was in denial for an hour because I was like, no, it's just coming in late, you know. I was like, no, you know, I got in. It's just coming in late, but it never arrived for the next day, and that was when I realized I didn't get in. So when I was like in the restaurant, I cried. I cried so much, and I just broke down. I didn't care if people were looking at me. I was just crying, and I cried on my way home. I cried at home, and I cried the next day and the days after that. I cried for so long. I was like so upset, and like yeah, it was like hard because at the time I was also like dealing with withdrawals because I stopped taking my medication, so that got even worse for me. So it was intense. Like it was a lot.
When did your mindset start to shift on it?
I think it was because I felt like I wasn't good enough. Like at the time, I didn't understand why I was so upset because I was like, okay, is it because I didn't get in, or is it because it's like a blow to my ego because I was already dealing with a lot of like self-esteem issues. So I feel like when I got rejected, it was like another slap on the face, like, hey, you're not good enough. So it was when I started to recognize that that was how I felt, that I kind of understood that like, okay, some things are outside of my control, you know? And even the school said, you know, it's like really competitive this year because there's a lot of scholarships going on and like everything's really hard. Like even people who were qualified didn't get in because like they just need to try to find people who were qualified enough to accept a scholarship. So it was like an eye-opener for me. After a few like weeks, I really understood like, okay, it was not in my control. And I because at the time I was thinking about all the what ifs, you know, like, you know, what if I did better? What if I included this? What if I, you know, worked harder? And I was blaming myself a lot. So it was when I realized that like it wasn't my fault in the first place, and that, you know, rejection is redirection, you know, like there's so many things that are open to me now that I never thought I would like or be interested in. So I feel like when I start to understand that life continues on is when I start to move on from that feeling.
How have you been able to pursue what you want despite the rejection?
I've definitely like a lot of opportunities are open to me now that it wasn't before, because if I had got accepted, I wouldn't be able to do cool things. Like I feel like this year, my resolution this year, okay, is to find myself. And if I had went to that school, I wouldn't have been able to find myself the way that I can now. You know, like I wouldn't be able to go to therapy because I would be in a foreign country with a lot of other new people, and it would just be a lot of stress in terms of school. But now I get to find myself through like different opportunities. Like I always thought like I needed someone to help me to pursue what I wanted, but I realize now that like everything starts with you. So, you know, like I have a podcast and I love it, and I you know, I've always had a passion for different things. So I get to continue what I like to do and while helping people, hopefully. But yeah, you know, like it's like making change, creating change starts with you, and I think that's what I've been trying to do more often. And I'm also like going to be traveling a lot this year, and I'm really excited because these are trips that are going to be independent. Like I'm going to go alone. So I'm really excited to just find myself through them. So yeah.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I've always wanted to travel alone. That's definitely on my bucket list. But are you still being homeschooled currently?
I'm online schooled currently.
Online schooled. Cool. So what does your day-to-day look like with that?
You know, I work a lot on projects, so I definitely balance school and projects a lot. So like I would, yeah, I throughout the day I kind of just do whatever I want because like there's no schedule, but I find a lot of peace in that because I get to also like spend time to acknowledge my feelings so that I don't like have to rush into something. But yeah, I just do school, and then I also balance that with a lot of my projects because those make me really happy. But yeah, it's kind of busy sometimes because I have like different schedules and like different projects coming up, but it also makes me really happy. So yeah, my day-to-day just really looks like a lot of things kind of tied together, but it works for me. So
What are some of the projects you're working on?
I have a event organizing committee. It's an online event organizing committee. So I do it with my friends. Basically, we host online events like game night and stuff with different themes for people around the world. And it's been really cool to like, you know, talk to people around the world. I've always treasured like diversity. So being able to that has been such a good opportunity for me. I also, you know, like I said, I have a podcast, so I do my podcast, and I'm like super inspired by it all the time. And I'm also working on other projects that I like isn't really started yet, but I also have a project coming up for Valentine's. There's a lot of projects for Valentine's for some reason. Like everybody loves Valentine's. So I have like every single week right now, I have a project. So that's like a lot, but you know, like I love it. I love stressing out about projects. I don't know why. It's like weird, but yeah.
Keeps you busy. You're doing what you love.
Exactly.
What inspired you to start your podcast as well as your organization committee?
For my podcast, I think like I've always been like a big, like an avid person that talks about mental health, like an advocate, you know. I've always talked about mental health. And I have a lot of thoughts on it, so I just never really understood where to put it down. I asked, like, I remember on my Instagram story, I asked a poll, like, should I make a podcast? And everybody was like, yes. So I made one just as like a little joke thing. But over time, I grew to really love talking. Like, I never liked public speaking ever. Like, I was always so nervous because I have like social anxiety. But I think I've just learned to like being able to freely talk about my experiences because I know that like whoever's listening can take something out of it. So that really has motivated me and inspired me to keep doing my podcast. And on top of that, my organizing committee, I think it first started when I met all these people from around the world from my online school because my online school is international. So I met a lot of people from there. And all these people just wanted to be friends because online school is very isolating. So for me, like I wanted to create a platform for people to be able to connect with each other and make friends. So we started it really gradually because, like I said, I don't think I've ever really started a project because I wanted to. It was always because it was like a little idea and then it developed. So that started with me alone, creating like little game nights for everybody to join. And then over time, my other friends joined the team and other people started coming in from different people, like from different communities. So it wasn't just my school anymore. Like it was like people from literally everywhere. So yeah, that's really like, I think I just like helping people. That's really it. Like I just like, you know, even though like in game nights, I don't get to play. I just stress out a lot and I just, you know, I don't get to play in the end. So, you know, it seems like, okay, what am I benefiting out of it? Literally nothing other than just like helping people feel happy for like an hour. And I think that's enough to keep me going.
It brings you joy, bringing other people joy.
Yes, I think that's like the type of joy that I find a lot. It's just helping people makes me really happy.
Yeah, I think that's it's a great mindset to have. And kind of circling back, what other big failures or kind of challenges have you faced along the way?
I mean, like I said, with a lot of projects comes a lot of failures. And even I think there's a lot more failures than successes. And I think that's just how life is. You know, you will learn so much more through your failures. I've definitely dealt with small and big failures before, but the biggest one being like, we wanted to create this student council for our online school, me and my friends. And we had like an adversity with our teachers. It was like a big thing. Like it was really hard because we felt like we were working so hard, but they didn't really care. They didn't really like consider how much work we had put into it. So in the end, we fell out. And I think that's always hard to feel like you're being invalidated by an adult or someone that you look up to, like a teacher. So that was a really big failure because after that, we tried different projects. Like I would make organizations or we would make little projects and it just doesn't work. It didn't work. And I was frustrated because I was like, oh my God, I'm putting so much work and it's not working. And I thought like I was the problem that, like, okay, I'm doing something wrong. But I've learned to understand that, like, some things just aren't meant to be. Even if you think you have a feeling like, oh, this is it, sometimes, like, it's not going to work. Like, even with my podcast, like, there's going to be times where I'm going to fail and I'm going to learn from it. It's all a learning process. Even if it seems successful from the outside or it seems like, oh, this is a great idea. Most of the time in every journey, you're going to fail. And that's what I've been learning to just accept is like, I'm going to fail all the time, but it's fine, you know?
Yeah. Failure is part of life. And like you said, we tend to fail a lot more than we succeed, which is frustrating, but you have to fail and you have to learn those lessons from failure in order to really create something that's worthwhile and lasting.
I agree.
How would you say all of this has made you into the person you are now?
Like overall with everything, like with
Yeah,
my
just
mental
kind of
health too.
like with all of it. Yeah, how is it all kind of like the combination of all of it? How has it matured you?
In so many ways. I think one of the biggest ways is that I've learned to trust myself more because let's say like in 2021, I would have never expected to be here today talking to you. on a podcast, like I would never expect myself to be that confident enough or that, you know, comfortable enough to be going outside of my comfort zone, because I've always been scared. Like I've always had a lot of fear. So I've learned a lot to trust myself throughout my journey and to, first of all, push myself out of my fears, because I've always had my fears protecting me from things and opportunities. So I learned to just go beyond that, because when you are outside of those fears, like you get to thrive in being uncomfortable almost, and you get to, you know, like these things are memorable, you know, even like things that like you think don't matter, opportunities that are so small, they matter because they are valuable and they teach you something. And yeah, I've just learned to really thrive in being myself and finally like expressing who I am as a person, because I feel like I've always defined myself by something like my past or my disorders or my struggles. But now I get to say I'm not a victim anymore. Like I got out of that victim mentality and say like, you know, I am a person who has passions, who has aspirations, who have hobbies and other things that I care about. So I get to pursue them now. And I think that's taught me a lot about just how to live life essentially outside of like everything. Yeah.
On the topic of the past, how have you learned to let go of your past?
Acceptance. Definitely a lot of accepting and understanding that even though I was hurt a lot in the past, I am not that same 12-year-old kid anymore who is helpless and vulnerable. Like I get to sit here and say like I am strong enough to face it and not run away from it anymore. So like it's a lot about coming to terms with it and just facing the reality of it. Like no matter how painful and ugly it is, like I think when it comes to our past, it's never going to be something good, you know. Like maybe there's things that you can remember that are great, but there are also a lot of painful memories. And I think accepting them and just saying, okay, that happened, but I can't change the past, but I can change the future and the present and how I want to live for the rest of my life. So it's been a lot of that for me, especially lately. So yeah, that's how I've learned to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just moving on, but how are you moving forward? I know that's a little bit of a repeat question, but what are the steps that you're taking to move forward?
Definitely finding a goal for myself, because like, I think it's important to find a goal for self-improvement and self-growth. So for me, I want to reach a point in my life where I don't have to be happy or know everything, but I want to reach a point where I can be comfortable with myself and just even in the bad moments, I get to just be okay with it. And that's where I want to go this year, especially. So I think there's a lot of like hope that can be found from my past. Like even through the darkest of times, I think I managed to help myself when I needed it. Like, you know, I'm here today, you know, that's like proof. That's enough proof to say like, I did it. So I think there's a lot of hope in me because of it. Like, I just know that like, even though I would like go through hard times, there's always going to be better days. And I think that keeps me going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good mindset to have on it. I love everything that you're saying. I've really, really enjoyed our conversation so far. And, do you have any kind of final thoughts that you want to say before I ask you the last question?
In terms of failure?
Just in general, if you have any like final thoughts to wrap up your story.
I think it's just, you know, I don't know. I already said what I wanted to say on like the previous questions about my mental health. So yeah, it's all I want to say is just, you know, expect the unexpected. This is my second offer. Like your journey is not going to be easy, but at the same time, I think, you know, being young is about finding yourself and being lost at the same time. But I think there's like the excitement behind that like everything's possible when you're young, you know? So just enjoy it.
I love that. I love that. And my final question, which is my personal favorite question, and I love what people come up with, but What is one final piece of advice or quote that you would like to leave everyone here with today?
This is a really good question. I think one of the biggest like things I've learned throughout my life is to go outside of my comfort zone, but also to like, how do I say this? I'm like, okay, give me a second to think about this.
You're good. Take all the time you need.
This is complicated. Advice. Okay. I think this is such a tricky question because like there's so many things I could say. Okay, I think the biggest one I actually learned from my therapist. So thank you to my therapist. But she taught me to understand how I perceive things. So like basically like everything in life is how you want to perceive it. Like, you know, happiness, sadness, every emotion, every experience is how you want to perceive that and how you want to take that. So I've learned a lot to find the good in everything, even if it's hard. Like, I think there's always something you can take out of every experience. So like, let's say from my past, I've learned to not focus on the bad things that happened in my past, but rather take what I've learned through it. Like, you know, I found myself faster than all my peers did, you know, like because I went through all of these things, like I managed to be more mature and I'm like now more ready to face adulthood because of it. So even though it's hard, like I learned so much from it. And I think it's like about perceiving it. So don't ever think like, don't be in this mentality where you think everything is so terrible, because it will be terrible. Like if you perceive something as so bad, it will become reality. So try to find the good in everything. That's really the best I can say, because like, let's be honest, like life is bad, you know, like the world is kind of cruel. It's kind of, you know, terrible and messy, but there's always something to be grateful for. And I know that's kind of cliche to say, but like, it's true. Like, you know, like I'm having better days now because I'm focusing more on my positive emotions and positive, you know, goals and what I'm looking forward to in life rather than what I'm like not looking forward to, like graduating, going to university and the stress. But, you know, it's going to happen when it comes. But for now, I get to just enjoy what I have. And I think that's the best advice I can give people.
I love that. I love that. I think that is a beautiful piece to leave everyone with today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I've had a wonderful time talking with you, Shan.
Me too.
I hope you have an absolutely wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.